I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm a little more involved over there defensively.
I'm glad to hear all of that, Tony. I think that's covering the bunts and things like that. So the one thing he did not learn using the Tony Gwynn team-up batting system when he had that in growing up as a kid. We kidded about it last time. Hey, Eric, thanks for a great first half. Thanks for coming down and hanging with us on Friar Fridays. I hope it goes just like you said. You finish strong here the first half and see what the second half holds. This team, to me, the sky's the limit, and I'm sure you guys are thinking along the same ways. It's just that as fans, we're playing like 30 games at a time, and you can only play like one, right?
Yeah. We got the confidence, man. That's all you can ask for. So we definitely have that in this group.
Good deal.
Thanks for your time, Eric.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, real quick, Chris, I'm going to ask you a trivia question that Braden Suprenic gave us.
Okay.
And we're not going to spend much time on it. Who was the leadoff batter the last time the Padres had a winning record in the second half?
In the second half?
Of the season. No, am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Okay.
Going into the break.
Going into the break. That's what it was. I didn't write down. Okay, just please answer it. I feel stupid.
You are.
Okay, thank you. Do you know?
Yeah, Anthony Gwynn.
No, that's actually not it.
It's not?
Anthony Gwynn Jr.
Oh my
goodness. He's being funny.
He's so funny.
Wow, that's pretty good. I did not think Chris would... I'm not doubting your knowledge, but that's so random. Who would know that?
Why is that random? The last time the Padres had a record over 500 at the All-Star break was the magic year of 2010.
That's true.
Indeed.
That's
and true. I believe that our friend, Tony Gwynn Jr., was a star on that team.
He was.
And I can't imagine asking the question if anybody other than him was the leadoff hitter.
Okay.
Right. It would have been real random then.
Yeah. That's true.
All right, take us to your big five, girls.
Good number five. The NBA is going to implement a coaches challenge at the upcoming summer leagues and anticipates using the rule during the 2019-20 regular season as part of a pilot program, per a memo sent to teams this morning reported by ESPN. Coaches are going to get one challenge a game. They lose it if the challenge, and they will lose it even if the challenge is successful. They can use it to challenge any called fouls, goaltending, basket interference, and plays when the ball is knocked out of bounds. Coaches must have a timeout. The team must call a timeout immediately after the event it would like to challenge. And here's my favorite part. And the coach must, quote, twirl his or her index finger toward the referees. Like, that's the version of the red...
They've been watching a lot of baseball. That's what they've been doing.
That's the version of the red flag, is the twirling of the finger. Sounds like, maybe, switch it up. Oh, no, I didn't want to challenge that. No.
Right?
That could be an issue.
Better get your play calls different.
If the challenge is successful, the team retains the timeout. But if the challenge is unsuccessful, they lose it. So similar to the NFL.
So you just get one challenge.
One challenge per
game.
So Chris, will this be a good thing for basketball, or will it become a nuisance to fans?
Both. It will certainly become a nuisance to fans. That I am sure of.
They already take too much time.
Just like all replay has become a total nuisance to fans, except for those fans who believe that the world has to be
perfect,
adjudicated perfectly.
Good boy.
Anybody else understands that replay is a pain in our side that is never going to go away? As a matter of fact, it's getting worse and worse and worse. This is the first step for the NBA down the dark hole of a path that will lead them to basically challenging every single call that's ever made in an NBA game and ruining the game forever if they're not careful. Because baseball is one thing, where you got a ball, either it's fair or it's foul. Basketball, almost every call is a judgment call.
Yeah.
So are you you're telling me that you're going to allow them to, once a game, be able to go back and look at a judgment call? how can you judge a judgment call, even if you look at it again? I just think this is awful. I hope the NBA doesn't go through with it, but I know they're going to.
Tony?
Initially, my mind is trying to be open to this. And it's like, okay, one challenge a game, save it, cool. But I already know how we are as a society. The moment that one call is, that one challenge has been used, and there's a play at the end of a game that we look in super slow-mo, slowed down 13 times, and we realize, oh, it should have been this, man. Oh, we got to open it up a little bit more. It's just going to, it's a slippery slope, as Chris said, and it will, I just don't trust us. I don't trust us to not freak out now that there is now that they're going to try out this challenge system. I don't trust fans and people who watch the game to not freak out when there's a call that is not made correctly, which literally happens every game. And we've all lived with it to this point.
There are so many calls in a basketball game.
Don't ruin my beautiful game of basketball.
Yeah, there's so many calls in basketball. Just move on. I mean, honestly, I could see somebody like Greg Popovich like showing how ridiculous this is
by
challenging the opening tap as to whether or not the guy in the other team tapped the ball too soon.
That'd be great.
You can challenge anything, and it's going to wreck the game. Sorry.
Oh, all right, let's go to number four.
Number four.
A Florida tennis prodigy became the youngest player to ever qualify for Wimbledon in the Open era yesterday. Corey Goff, who is 15 years old, defeated Belgium's Greet Minnen in a match 6-1, 6-1 to accomplish the feat. The tournament, the Wimbledon tournament, that is set to begin July 1st. Tony, what were you doing when you were 15 years old?
When I was 15 years
old. Not qualifying for Wimbledon.
I wasn't qualified for very much anything at 15. I was pretty average, man. Like 15, I think I was a sophomore going as a 15-year-old. So I was playing, getting an opportunity to play varsity basketball, but that's pretty much where my stardom ended at that point.
Chris, what were you doing at 15 years old?
I was on the high school baseball team.
Nice.
That's about it.
Chris, what are most 15-year-olds are doing at that point?
Yeah, I was just playing, learning how to pitch a little bit. Learning that I couldn't hit and that I better be able to pitch a little bit because I was never going to make it in any other position. I think I was also writing for the school newspaper.
Oh, nice.
And anyway, I think the real question here is 15, really? Do we need that?
I didn't want to ask that.
I know. It's kind of the obvious one. But Venus Williams, I think, qualified as a pro 16. At 13 or 14.
Okay, 13.
She was playing pro tournaments, so... You know,
been done
it's
before.
Getting earlier and earlier nowadays, but these kids can handle it. I mean, the kid earned his way into the tournament. It's not like he's been given a spot like they do in golf tournaments once in a while.
Sponsor exemption.
I mean, he earned his way in, so whatever age.
It's
one day some kid who's 12 years old is going to win Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Okay, well, one
day. Does that change it a little bit then?
No.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It doesn't.
Okay.
One day a 12-year-old's going to win Wimbledon.
Wait, what?
I almost think that's going to...
That would be crazy.
Why would that be crazy?
A 12-year-old winning Wimbledon?
I'm calling it right now.
That would be insane.
Calling it!
That would be nuts.
I'm stunned. Let's move to number three.
Number three.
Tracy Austin almost won the U.S. Open once at like 13 or 14.
That is insane.
I think she got to the final. I mean, it was close.
You're not even done growing yet, and you're winning Wimbledon? I broke the news to you yesterday about Yonder Alonso being designated for assignment by the White Sox, but now the team finds themselves in a weird spot. The news of his assignment came less than 2 hours after the team sent out a release promoting his charitable bowling event.
Uh-oh.
Set to be held on Sunday, benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Chicago and the Chicago White Sox Charities. Other members of the White Sox are scheduled to appear at the event, but at that time, They will be ex-teammates, so they will no longer be his teammates because he's not on the team anymore. Chris, what should the White Sox do about this event?
They should fold up the organization.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
The White Sox are a mess.
That is pretty bad.
Yeah. No, what are you going to do? I mean, these kinds of things happen. I think it's great.
Can you hold it? The guy's not on the team anymore.
Well, of course
he
can.
But it's not about that.
So. Yeah. I mean, of course he can hold the event, and I would hope that his, quote, former teammates, many of them would still come.
Hopefully.
The White Sox, I guess, probably don't have to devote as many resources to the event as they might have originally. But, I mean, if he put something like this on and he's worked on it, I hope he still goes out and has the event to... If for no other reason, just for the kids and everybody else that would get to take part in it and get a chance to meet a former big league ball player. That might be a big league ball player again, by the way. I don't know that this is the end of the road for Yonder Alonso.
For people out there, I mean, now that I've been around it a little bit, it's a lot of work for these athletes to come up with these events because there's a lot of scheduling and all that. But, Tony, what do you think?
I'm going to read this part to you guys real quick. Benefiting the Boys and Girls Club of Chicago and the Chicago White Sox Charities. I think Alonso will go ultimately, but doesn't it feel a little weird that you fired a guy and in some sense, if this is his charity, he's got to go, right? Like, he's got to show up. But if this is for the White Sox and you just fired me, basically,
why do I want to help you?
Yes, but at the same time, it kind of puts him in a rough spot. It's like,
why do I want to be a jerk to these kids?
Exactly. So I think he'll go ultimately.
I know what you would do. You would leave all the kids hanging.
Oh, he'd be a Caribbean jerk?
And you wouldn't even announce it either. You just wouldn't show up. All these poor kids would be standing there with these bowling balls in their hand waiting for their hero to ship, and you just wouldn't.
So you're saying if the fans fired
blow
me
them right off.
And I had a charity event and they sent it out saying, and they still
and you knew that it benefited the
Boys and Girls Club,
the fans' charities.
I'm out.
You're definitely not.
No, actually, I'm contacting all those kids and I'm saying, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese over here.
I can see you doing that
because then we're going to go celebrate over
here.
That's
super petty, but I can see you doing that for sure.
All right, let's move on to number two.
Number two.
10 former elite players, including United States national team icons Michelle Akers and Brandi Chastain, have signed on to take part in a first-of-its-kind study on the long-term effects of head impacts in a high-level women's soccer. Akers suffers from chronic migraines, and Chastain actually became the first professional woman athlete in 2016 to pledge to donate her brain to the Concussion Legacy Foundation for study upon her death. Tony, how much of a problem is concussions in soccer?
It's always been a problem. It just has not been written or reported on as much as the number one sport in America, which is football.
And then they try to sweep it under the rug.
And football did try to sweep it under the rug. But I think, listen, when you start researching these things, you generally find information that you did not know before. Although, because of football, I think there won't necessarily be things we don't know. We pretty much know what causes head trauma, right? This is maybe a little bit less, considering that you're not 225 running.
I've headed a ball before. It hurts.
Right. But my point is,
I don't think that's the main
is
spot
it hitting
to get
heads?
Injured. Yes.
It's exactly. On the headers when you get two heads basically colliding at times.
Yeah, that's a pretty severe injury,
and
they're not wearing any helmets.
Just getting raised, they're not wearing any helmets or really any pads other than the shin guard. So when you do have collisions when they're actually running into each other. I think it's interesting that two icons from that 99ers, as they call them, are heading this right now.
Do you have daughters that play soccer? Does this worry you?
Yes and no. I mean, listen, I think anytime your kids are out playing a sport like soccer or things that have to do with your head, you always got to have a little bit of caution and concern, but they love to do it, so I'm not going to take
it
away from them.
Aren't they not allowed to head the ball at a certain age?
My oldest daughter just got to the level where you can now head the ball, but I think it's prior to the age of 11, you're not allowed to.
Not even supposed to. I think they're going to have to change that and move that up to about 15 or 16 until really kids have better control of their bodies and are able to go up and really understand how to head without hitting heads. Because that's a more severe injury to me almost than a wide receiver going over the middle. I mean, two heads just completely colliding
with
no helmet.
Protection, yeah.
I mean, that's dangerous. And I don't think people look at soccer as being dangerous, but
I don't know if
it
they'll,
can be.
I agree that they probably should raise the age limit, but I don't know if they will. The one thing that we've had success in this country with in soccer is the women's game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We have to continue to be the best in that.
You know that's how these things work a lot of times. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Fair enough.
All right, let's get to the last. We have just a few minutes left.
Number one.
The Chiefs are hoping the NFL will have a ruling on Tyreek Hill before the start of training camp, according to Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports. He had an eight-hour meeting with NFL investigators on Wednesday that was considered quote-unquote positive for the receiver. The 25-year-old was under investigation for child abuse against his three-year-old son, but the investigation is no longer active and there is no arrest made. Many experts assume he will be suspended by the NFL, and the maximum he could receive is four games. Chris, how many games at this point is an appropriate suspension in your eyes?
Four games.
Okay.
I think that's fine. If they've looked into this, and I'm talking about
the police, yeah,
and they're not filing any charges, and they're satisfied, however it was that they became satisfied, then that, to me, the National Football League could do no more than
whatever
the collective bargaining agreement says, and that's four games. Seems like it would be fair to me that that's the punishment. I think the Chiefs can still decide whether or not they want to keep Tyreek Hill as part of the program, and apparently they do. So they'll probably have to put up with a little backlash for that, but four games sounds right to me.
I think four games is right. I think Chris is dead on, especially considering that it seems like the police have closed their case. There's no longer an investigation. There was no charges filed. But because he's been in these incidents, I think it's appropriate to have four games. It's like we want you to get the message that we need you to stay away from this type of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, this is probably as bad as it gets right here.
Pretty much.
I heard a national sports talk host say on the drive home last night that he thinks if Tyreek Hill can't play or if the Chiefs release him, the Chiefs are now going to be the worst team in the AFC West. Would you say
a little strong?
Yeah, that is strong, right? I was like, "What is going on with this take?"
Well, that's not a lot of support for how good Patrick Mahomes is. If they think they're going to take away his wide receiver, and he's not going to be able to ever move.
He doesn't have
ball.
Kareem Hunt either.
He didn't have him at the end of last year, and he was one possession away from going to the Super Bowl.
No? In my face, because that was a great retort. Is that the word? Retort? Rebuttal. Rebuttal is the word. All right, that's it for the Big Five.
You've survived another edition.
The looks on your guys' face sometimes.
You know why we have that look?
Because you have no idea what's going on.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
40 wins, 40 losses, 40 days, 40 nights. The Padres, Noah's Ark. I can't believe I got a Noah's Ark reference in there.
You did.
I did. What have been the five most memorable moments of the first half of this 2019 season for the San Diego Padres? Well, we're about to tell you. Tony, you want to go first? Or do
sure.
You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
You go first.
Yes.
Wait for it.
Number five.
Number five. I had to split this vote right here. I don't like to do this, but I had to do it.
You're pulling a Chris.
I'm pulling a Chris right here. Tatis Jr. makes the opening day roster. Has to be on there, but I had to tie it with the other rookie that's gotten off to a pretty good start this year, Chris Paddock. And not just him making the roster. Chris Paddock's moment is his start against the New York Mets.
That was a memorable.
That was epic. I mean, he basically called out Pete Alonso and then proceeded to back up what he talked about in that game.
You know who threw out the first pitch at the Padre game that night?
A guy named Chris Ello.
That was my night. I should have that way higher on my list. All right. My number five happened just last weekend in Pittsburgh. Here it is.
Pitch to Hunter. Fastball popped up. That will not score a run. Drifting over. Second baseman Newman. Having played more toward the bag, he'll go out there on the grass beyond second. Tagging for Fernando. Coming home. The throw, the tag. Safe at home place. How about that boy? Son of a gun. It's unbelievable. 1-0 Padres. Got the hand in.
Yes, he did, Ted Leitner. That was my number five moment of the year. Fernando Tatis tags up and scores from third base on a pop-up to the second baseman.
Can we isolate Tony saying, nice, use that forever and ever and ever?
That was awesome. That was, and it was called perfectly by Ted because when the ball went up, it was certain that there was no run coming in. But Fernando Tatis scored anyway.
Yeah.
Number four.
Thomas, you better be prepared to play that again down the line.
Okay.
So just so you're
again
aware. Right. Number four for me were the two huge comebacks in Denver. Clearly, on Friday night, they come back. And then on Sunday day,
yeah,
they do it again. And listen, six runs in one of the comebacks. Can't remember if it was Friday or
Friday.
Sunday. It was Friday. Six runs is pretty much lights out. Everybody's packing it in, even in Colorado. Especially when you're down six in the ninth. It wasn't like they chipped away at this. They were down six runs in the ninth, came back and won it. Just those 2 days in Colorado have to be memorable moments for me, at least.
Me too. They're my number four moment as well, and Thomas has a little bit for us to relive.
2-1. The pitch to Murphy is lifted in the air. Left field coming in. Will Myers has time, has room, makes the catch, and the Padres win it. An absolutely incredible come-from-behind victory here at Coors Field. The Padres erase an 11-5 deficit in the ninth inning and then score five times in the 12th. They win it in 12, 16-12.
That's a game you'll never forget. And then it was followed up, like you said, Tony, 2 days later with a four-run rally, two outs in the ninth inning. Those are memorable games, and those are games they'll look back on when they're sitting there sipping some champagne a couple years from now going, remember that time in Colorado?
That was when it started. That's when we started
to
believe.
That's when it all started. Yeah, exactly.
Number three
for me, this guy shouldn't go without being in somebody's top five. And just because he's a closer doesn't mean he doesn't have memorable moments. 26 consecutive to tie, I believe, Trevor Hoffman's record. To start the season. No mess-ups, no blown saves, just straight 26 saves with heat. Kirby Yates.
Beautiful. Kirby.
Yater's going to yate.
Yater yated, I'll tell you that.
Yater's been yating.
Yes, he has. He has been, he's still, I think, my first half MVP.
Yep.
Although Hosmer's closed the gap, I still think Yates is the guy.
I agree. I'm with you.
All right, my number three moment of the first half of the season happened early in the season, April the 12th. We take you to Arizona for this unbelievable play.
Padres 1-0 lead, tied at 1, now 2-1 lead, now 3-2 ground ball, staying fair. Backhand Matty, sidearm throw from foul territory. My gosh, on the glove of Eric Hosmer, who does not have to move the glove an inch. Matty, yeah. You had that diving grab in foul territory by the coaching box at home. This one, on a close game, is your best as a Padre.
Yeah, that's a good important point, too. They won that game 2-1 in large part because of that unbelievable play when Machado went into deep foul territory and the throw. We'll never forget that throw, just whipping it across his body and Hosmer standing there squeezing it at first base because the throw was perfect to him.
I just remember Adam Warren's face after he couldn't even be like too excited. He was just like, wow, that is so awesome.
That was an incredible.
And that was like one of my first games doing radio with Ted this year. You heard the wow. I need to get better with I gotta stop using one word excitement.
Nice. when you see a play like that, and I know that when I've done color with Ted and other sports and you do it, you don't ever want to step on a guy's call. But when somebody makes a play like that, there's almost nothing you can do. Just something comes out of your body.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, you see a play like that one, but that was only number three.
Right.
There's still two ahead of that.
Yeah, so
let's see.
Number two.
My number two. Thomas, I'm going to need you to run that Fernando Tatis clip back one more time.
All right.
Pitch to Hunter. Fastball popped up. That will not score a run. Drifting over. Second baseman Newman. Having played more toward the bag, he'll go out there on the grass beyond second. Tagging for Fernando. Coming home. The throw, the tag. Tag for home place. How about that boy? Son of a gun. It's unbelievable. 1-0 Padres. Got the hand in.
I'm telling
That's
you guys,
beautiful.
That play was unbelievable.
Oh, sure.
From so many different perspectives. I mean, this wasn't like a regular tag. Like, okay, he catches it. It was like he catches, okay, should I go? Should I go? Maybe no. Oh, I'm going.
He went.
He still got in there.
He still made it. Beautiful. That was something.
Beautiful. I have a word for you. You could say sweet.
No, that's sweet. Got to be authentic now.
What about purdy?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, we'll see what Tony's one word response is.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
To this one, my number two moment of the first half. It happened on April the 30th in Atlanta.
Runners going. The pitch is high outside. Throw down Mejia on the bag. Out at second base. What an arm on Mejia. We know it. We've seen it. Scouts talk about it. And, I mean, you got to really, really give it to him there. That throw was perfect.
One of the best throws I've ever seen a catcher make. And I saw Johnny Bench. He made a lot of them. Pudge Rodriguez, all the rest. There's never been a better one than that, Tony, right? The one that whizzed by Kirby Yates' head.
Well, thank
in
God.
In Atlanta and didn't hit him, thank God.
Thank
Man,
God
that one I'll never forget.
Head. Yeah, because that was just a missile.
Absolute missile.
We've grown accustomed to Mejia's arm now, but wow. That was one of the first ones that was like.
And just like you said about Adam Warren on the other play, Charlie Culberson, who was tagged out, still can't believe it. He like looked around like, what? The ball's here? That's not possible.
No.
And don't forget, Kirby Yates came like inches away from being drilled in the back of the head. It was scary.
Did we mention that? Like no more than eight seconds ago?
And the crazy part, he actually has a headset on and is listening
to the
show.
Was reading the email about the trinkets, actually. We're trying to figure out your trinket situation.
Oh, good. All right.
That's my fault.
All right. That leaves us with...
number one.
And this, we might have the same one.
I would hope we do. I can't imagine there's been anything better than this moment.
Hunter Renfro's walk-off home run versus the Dodgers. Kenley Jansen on the mound, and he goes big fly.
Down a run. This one, a high fly ball to deep left field. I thought he just won the ball game. He just won the ball game. Car rushed to deep left field. Grand slam. Walk-off pinch home run for Hunter Renfro. How about them, boys? His power is unbelievable.
That home run was unbelievable, and that is easily got to be the highlight of the first half. It happened on May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo. It's the only time the Padres have beaten the Dodgers this year. And you know what else I remember about that Grand Slam homer? Is, first of all, don't ever call it a Grand Slam homer because there's no such thing as a Grand Slam triple. But what I remember most about that Grand Slam was that the Padres loaded the bases in that ninth inning with nobody out. And then the next two guys got out.
Yes.
And it looked like, oh my goodness, they're going to blow bases loaded, nobody out. And Renfro was the last hope. He hit that Grand Slam with two outs.
Yes.
And saved everything. Because they would have lost the whole weekend series and everything. That moment was special.
Changed our whole post-game show on Fox Sports San Diego.
Real fast.
In one swing.
Real fast. All right. I hope you enjoyed that.
The countdown is now closed.
All right. Scraby, what are we going to now? Your brand new open?
Yes. I just want to say that last call by Ted was really strong. That was a good one. I enjoyed listening to that.
Oh, I remember hearing it in the car because I was at the game that day and I went home after the eighth inning, so I had to hear it in the car from Ted.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yes, I did not see the Hunter Renfro Grand Slam because I gave up on that game.
Technically, I didn't see it either. I was on the Fox Sports deck, but I saw everybody get up.
You saw everybody get up.
And then the next day, you guys interviewed Hunter in the dugout, and remember he just said, yeah, it looked like a beach ball, so I hit it pretty much right down the middle. Yes, we are going to go to our new open for Odd Thomas.
We finally got an open.
Yeah, it gives us odd baseball facts.
Meet our producer, Thomas.
Hi. Hello. Hi.
Thomas loves baseball. Thomas loves baseball stats.
I love this guy over here.
And Thomas is odd.
I thought he was a bit weird when he arrived.
That means it's time for Odd Baseball Stats with Odd Thomas.
We'll see about that, Posh Spice.
Let's get started, I guess, on 97.3 The Fan.
You know what, Thomas? I don't even think you need to do them. The open was so good.
Wow.
I don't think you live up to it.
The best open you've ever come up with right there.
That was brilliant, Scraby.
Thank you.
It was worth the wait.
What, What did you think, Thomas?
That was good. I held off on listening to it. When I put it in the computer, I turned off Q. I wanted it to be fresh, and me and Will just had this giant smile looking at each other from across the room.
It was good. It was fitting.
It was a very good open for a very good segment, Odd Baseball Facts with Odd Thomas.
Because Thomas is a weirdo.
We better let Thomas get going here. We don't have much time.
We do.
No, we got
9 minutes.
About 8-9 minutes.
Oh, that's right.
We're a little past the top of the hour until the pregame show. So, Thomas, relax, take your time. And
put your feet up.
Hit us with some fun baseball facts.
I'm about to put my feet up.
All right, guys, dig in. Here we go. So,
that's my chair.
Peter Lambert has been up and down in his rookie year so far with the Colorado Rockies.
Oh, this is a good one. I know this one.
And last night against the Dodgers in the bottom of the second, he singled to right field, tying a Rockies record for consecutive at-bats with a hit with 5 as a pitcher, tying Pedro Astacio in 1999. And he's the first pitcher since the D-Train, Dontrell Willis, to do it since 2007.
Fun fact about this, you said Pedro Astacio.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I remember him? When he used to look in for pitches, whereas most pitchers shake their head for no, he would shake his arm.
What?
Oh, yeah?
He would shake his arm.
I remember him shaking his arm. I didn't know that he was shaking off a signal,
Shaking off a signal. I later found it out. Just a fun fact.
I remember Pedro Astacio. That's pretty impressive. First pitcher to have 5 straight hits since 2007.
Mm-hmm. Dontrell could hit.
Dontrell was a good hitter, but Peter Lambert for the Rockies, obviously not bad. He at least got one off the Dodgers because it was last night against Walker Buehler. So that's pretty good for that. Yeah, and he's a rookie too. All right, good one, Thomas.
Speaking of Walker Buehler and the Los Angeles Dodgers, Coors Field can be rough on pitchers, so much so that Walker Buehler's previous start, he had 16 strikeouts, the most in a National League game this year. His stats last night, Walker Buehler gave up 13 hits, the most in a Major League Baseball game this year. So
and the Dodgers still won.
Yeah, baseball
which,
can be
again,
cruel.
Reminds us all how ridiculously good the Dodgers are.
There was an article that came out about Walker Buehler today on Bleacher Report. And I think it was the title of it was Opposing Hitters Hate Him.
And
apparently he has I don't know if he does it all the time, but he's not afraid to tell you where to go after he punches you out.
Go sit down?
And those are that's the kind version.
Really?
So you said that, and then you said 13 hits. And I just thought, this game is funny about humbling folks. It has a funny way of doing it.
You know what's terrible is that, like I said, he gave up all those hits. The Dodgers still won the game.
And they still won.
I have a Walker Buehler stat that I heard last night as well, so I'll piggyback on this. In the month of June, coming into that game last night, Walker Buehler had 42 strikeouts and 1 walk.
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's Clayton Kershaw-esque.
That's
right
pretty
there.
Impressive. I don't know what his numbers added into that last night, but coming into the game, that's where he was at. All right, Thomas, good work.
All right, so we're starting to see a trend in basketball about the Big Three, and now there's a new Big Three, but this one's in baseball. The Chicago Cubs are the only team with 3 active players with 100-plus home runs before turning 27, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, and Javier Baez, who just hit his 100th earlier this week.
Padres are going to have 2 when they get Renfro and Reyes going.
How many home runs does Hunter Renfro have
in his career?
Yeah.
He's got to be closing in.
Yeah, he's got to be getting close to 100.
I mean, that's not a surprise, those guys. I mean, Javier Baez, who were the other one? Chris Bryant. Who was the other one you mentioned?
Rizzo.
Rizzo.
Yeah, they all came up as young sluggers. Well, Rizzo should be here. Never mind. I digress.
Thank you.
Because otherwise we wouldn't have interviewed Eric Hosmer today.
See, you know what? You know why I preach patience? Because stuff like that doesn't happen if you have it.
I believe yesterday or today was the date that he debuted with the Cubs, too.
Was it?
Yeah.
Hunter Renfro has 80 home runs on his career.
He's closing in.
He has more home runs this year. Or no, he's 2 away from tying last year's total.
His record is 26.
Yeah.
And he's got 24 already.
Exactly.
He and Reyes have 46 home runs this year together. They are not the top duo in Major League Baseball.
That's
Do you know
crazy.
Who is? Who's the top teammates in Major League Baseball?
Someone
right
on the Twins, maybe?
Nope.
It's the Dodgers, right?
Nope.
I don't know. Who you got?
I got Mike Moustakas with 23 and Kristen Yelich with 29.
There you go.
Milwaukee Brewers. They got the top home run duo ahead of Renfro and Reyes.
All right.
Keep on, Thomas.
As of Wednesday, career strikeouts, Tony Gwynn Sr., 434. Aaron Judge, 434.
That is a great one.
I hate that we pick on Aaron Judge because although he strikes out a lot, he's actually a good hitter. Like, he hits 300. He just strikes out a lot. You can live with that. But it is...
Yeah, he's not hitting 190.
Right, right. He's doing damage. It's just, it is remarkable. It just shows you really how much the game has changed. It really does.
Right. All right.
Same as he's matched Tony Gwynn Sr. in one category, and it only took him like 2 years. That's funny.
All right, we've seen Shohei Ohtani take the league by storm with his pitching and his hitting. And last night, he hit his 10th home run of the season. And through his first 148 career games, Shohei Ohtani has had 32 home runs and has got a 3.31 ERA. Babe Ruth, through his first 148 games, has had 8 home runs and had a 3.59 ERA.
Oh.
Wait, Babe Ruth's first 100...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Games, you only hit 8 home runs?
That's what I found.
That's what you got?
Was
it's
he
very,
on the sauce?
It's very, it, well, it's
was
very
he on the sauce? Probably.
While we ponder whether or not Babe was on the sauce, we're going to pause for just a second for station identification. You're listening to the Padres Radio Network.
KWFM HD1 San Diego, radio.com sports station. Hear the San Diego Padres on San Diego's only FM sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I guess not.
Well, I used to have that power. I used to say Padres Radio Network, and Thomas would hit the button, and then...
Did you guys not hear it?
No.
We didn't hear it. Okay.
Were we talking through it then?
We must have talked over it then. Sorry about that, Thomas. We didn't hear it on our
end. Should probably play it again then.
Yeah. Will just played it, so we're all good.
Well, okay.
All right, we're good. All right, we got another minute or two left, Odd Thomas. Finish up strong, because you've been strong
today. You've been real strong today, brother.
All right. So, Hyunjin Ryu is looking like the front runner for the NL Cy Young at the moment. Entering tonight, he has pitched 18 consecutive starts, allowing two or fewer earned runs in a game, the third longest streak since 1920.
Wow. Third longest in 100 years.
Yeah.
Listen, they thought this guy was going to be good when they signed him, and it took him a little bit to get it, as it does a lot of guys who come from overseas, especially Japan and Asia over there in general. It takes them a little bit to get adjusted to the American game, and it seems like Ryu has finally hit his stride.
All he needed to do was leave my fantasy baseball team. He's been on it for several years, and he's never pitched anything like this. And this year he is 1.27 ERA. Come on.
There's two things I've learned about Chris since I started working with him.
What
was that?
First thing, everything comes back to the Bulls. Second thing, everything comes back to the fantasy baseball team. He doesn't like that.
That's my life. What do you want me to say?
Okay, all right. No, that's fine.
That's all I got.
All right. We're going to power through some of these right now. So the All-Star game is almost here, and so are all the odd facts that I could find about the All-Star game. As far as some of the players elected, Wilson Contreras will be the first Cubs catcher to start consecutive All-Star games since Gabby Harnett in 1936 to 1937. Freddie Freeman is the first Brave to start consecutive All-Star games at first base since Fred McGriff, 95 to 96. Ketel Marte, first Diamondback second base into an All-Star game since Jay Bell in 1999. Nolan Arenado, first third baseman to start consecutive All-Star games, joining Scott Rolen from 2002 to 2004. Jorge Polanco is the first Twins shortstop to make an All-Star game since Roy Smalley in 1979.
Oh, the Mummy.
Oh, Smalley!
They called him the Mummy. Roy Smalley.
That's
USC.
An awesome nickname.
Yeah, his nickname was the Mummy.
All right, two more real quick. Ronald Acuna will be the first player since Trout and Harper in 2013 to start an All-Star game at 21 years old.
Wow.
And Javi Baez became the first ever player to start consecutive All-Star games at both middle infield spots, starting at second base last season.
Very good, Thomas. Odd Thomas.
Boom.
I got to tell you, those were about six or seven of the best Odd Thomases of all time.
Strong.
I think it was spurred on by the great opening.
Strong.
All right, we got to make way for Braden Suprenant and the Padre pregame show. Scraby, good work. Thomas, great work.
It's
Will
been real.
Galvez, thank you for everything you have done for this program. And
we love you, Will.
We look forward to what you're going to do next. For Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, enjoy Padre baseball next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.